Hi, this is Zoe, and this is episode 7, 3 myths about men and leadership.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
So, welcome. Great to be here. I have to say I've got a little bit of chicken drama. We've got chicken Houdinis. No matter what we do with our chicken fencing, they escape and they get out and they munch the garden. So if you hear a bit of clucking in the background, it means they've ventured near and they've got something to say about the podcast. I hope you do too. So let's get into it. A couple of news pieces for you. My event that we're hosting next year, Edge of Leadership, to benefit Men's Link and Outward Bound, two of the local charities here in Canberra, we are already, after 2 weeks of launching the event, 20% of tickets sold out. And we've got 5 months to go. So Super Early Bird is on right now, and it finishes on November 30th. So it's a good opportunity to get into the event while we still have tickets and while they are still less than half price. So the Super Duper Early Bird is $324 instead of $874. So it's a bargain. And what you can look forward to on the day, which I'm so thrilled about, is a huge day of learning. So we are showcasing Dr. Jason Fox as the keynote speaker. I'm going to be also doing a workshop on strategic leadership thinking. And we've got amazing entrepreneurs and business owners from around the ACT talking about how they support local charities and make a social agenda. So we've got learning, we've got great opportunity to connect with other business folks in Canberra, and a day of inspiration. And all the proceeds go to charity. So, you know, excellent. Hope to see you there. The next piece of news is on Monday, this coming Monday, my book, my new book, Moments, Leadership in the Moments That Leadership, can I get the book title right? The book title is Moments, Leadership When It Matters Most. It arrives on Monday at my doorstep, and you can still order a copy now in the pre-orders for just $1 shipping. And I will personally handcraft and write a note for you and autograph the inside. So that's all happening. And the third piece, if you want a free copy of the book, come along to the book launch on Thursday, December 1st. We still have a couple of seats left. We're having a lovely lunch at the Ottoman. And you get to meet some other amazing people who are part of my tribe here in Canberra. And you can register. I'll put the registration link in the show notes at zoerouth.com/podcast/menmyths, all one word. So book that I'm reading right now, one appropriately called The Future of Men. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that. So I've just cracked the cover. It's well-researched and it's got a lot to say about the future of men in politics and marketing and all sorts of things as women become more influential in the workplace and in politics and around the globe. So no doubt that is going to be a robust read and I'll be sure to give a bit of a review on it in next week's podcast. And just to balance it out, the other book on my reading list, which I'm going to read at this just afterwards, is How to Make Every Man Want You by Marie Forleo. So that book's a couple years old now. I've met Marie Forleo in 2008 at a conference over in LA, and she is a business dynamo, very funky lady. So I look forward to reading both those books and see where they correspond and where they might diverge in their opinions. So that's The Future of Men and How to Make Every Man Want You. So interesting gender leadership topics for us to delve into. So what I'm pondering and kind of the reason behind this podcast is I believe we need a new story for men and a new story for men in leadership. For a long time now, the feminist agenda has made it clear that the old story of men in leadership does not work because it is exclusive and non-supportive of women. That's an old story, and we're still working on that as a community and as a culture. And yet, in making room for women, where do the men go? And so I've been pondering all this. And last week, I had the opportunity to see Lieutenant General David Morrison, who is ex-Chief of the Army here in Australia. was also the Australian of the Year in 2016. That's still this year. He's famous for a couple things. One of the things he's famous for is for his support of his transgender speechwriter refusing to accept her resignation when she came out as transgender. He is one of her strongest supporters. And he's also famous for his anti-misogyny speech, "The standard you walk past is the standard you accept," which I think as a leadership mantra is brilliant. It's a good reminder that we can always act with integrity no matter what we are doing. And we all have a responsibility to that. So at this luncheon, he was the keynote speaker and we had an opportunity to ask questions. And one of the things he said during his speech is he was talking about culture and organizations. And he said, culture is really the stories that we tell about ourselves and the stories that other people tell about us. And I thought that was an interesting comment, and I wanted to know more about that in the relationship to the stories we tell about men. Namely, that we tell so many stories about men doing the wrong thing. So men being brutish, men abusing women, men being violent against women. It seems our media is saturated with men doing things badly. And in the article on my blog that I wrote last week, the point I made was, when we tell so many bad stories about men, we don't give the opportunity to shine the light on the men doing good things. So I asked the Lieutenant General, I said, okay, if that's true and we spend a lot of time focusing on men who are doing the wrong thing and being ignorant and brutish, what different story can we tell instead about men? So if we create culture based on the stories we tell and all we tell are bad stories, then we're creating bad culture. So the idea is, let's create a new culture. What story can we tell about men? His answer, well, I have to say I was a little disappointed. Maybe it was the way I phrased it. Maybe I didn't get clear about what I was after. What I was after was like this new picture of what an integrated, compassionate man might look like. And he said, basically, from his point of view, that largely, by and large, men are not malevolent. They don't go around wanting to do bad things. The majority of men are good, decent human beings. He said they're just blind. They look at women and they pay attention to you for largely one thing, insert brackets, sex, and are largely blind and ignorant to the struggles that women face on a day-to-day basis, which favors, in a culture like the army, often favors men. So his summary was essentially that men aren't bad guys, they're just blind and ignorant. So I was a little disappointed as an alternative story to violent men that we have, you know, let's talk about the blind and ignorant men who just need to become more aware. So out of that, I thought, let's explore this further. Let's look at some myths around men and see if we cannot craft the start of a new story for men in leadership. So one of the myths, three myths I want to look at. And the first one is men are less emotional than women. It is a myth. We think, oh, men are a bit more stoic. The water runs off their backs like ducks. What is that expression? Like water off a duck's back, right? Okay. So it's not true that men are less emotional than women. Men feel deeply. They feel just as deeply as women. The thing for men is that they tend to mask their emotions, and they may turn to things like drugs and alcohol or overwork or some sort of addictive behavior in order to cover up, numb their emotions, because men are not taught how to feel things fully. The story and the lexicon and the expectation of men and their emotions that they don't talk about it, they suppress it, and if you cry, you're a cry baby. And there's this real disparaging attitude we have towards men showing emotion. So it's not that they don't feel deeply, it's just that they are, if they are to express emotion, they have to go against the tide in terms of what's expected of them. It's one of the reasons why Men's Link has this great campaign and slogan, which silence is deadly. And in their work, they support youth at risk, young men at risk in the Canberra community through mentoring and other mental health education programs. They help young men to talk about and express and explore their feelings. One of the things they do every month is they have people who gather at a networking function, and Men's Link invites one of the community's prominent business people or sports people to talk about their life struggles. One gentleman I saw speak at a recent gathering talked about, as a young 38-year-old man recently married to his love of his life of 18 years with two young kids, his wife died in hospital from, I think it was a staph infection. So he was left at the age of 38 as a single dad of two young kids, like a two-year-old and a baby. And he talked about how difficult that was and how emotionally draining it was. And by virtue of having a man talk about his emotions, talk about them being difficult and showing vulnerability and rawness was a great example for men everywhere to own the fact that things are difficult and you have emotions, you can experience them, and you can experience them and they don't have to swallow you whole. So the myth is, it's not that men are less emotional than women. They just don't necessarily have the capacity yet to express and process their emotions. And we need to help them with that. Myth number two is that men have more confidence than women. And in a recent Harvard Business Review magazine, they talked about what they surveyed a lot of performance review criteria and feedback that people get in their performance reviews. And the number one issue that people get feedback on, whether men or women, is confidence. So often people report that in their performance reviews, one of the things that would make them more effective in their role is to be more confident, men and women alike. So I think this is an interesting one in terms of myth about men and leadership. There is an expectation, a social expectation, an assumption that men, because they are men, have less to be afraid of. And while that's true in some areas, men don't often have to walk around worried about being assaulted at night, say, for example. So it depends on where you live, of course, for that to be true. And it also depends on your race. You know, some people in some places, to be black is to walk around and be afraid. So apart from these particular incidents, the general overarching cultural assumption is that men, because they have men, are less afraid. It's not true, you know. Men have similar worries to women. They worry about their body image. So they worry about getting a pot belly. They worry that their shoulders aren't wide enough. Or I have a friend who obsesses about his calves, which I think is hilarious. And it's not hilarious to him. This is a lifelong struggle. He believes that his skinny calves they bother him. So men too have worry about body image and body shape. And this whole dad body thing is an indicator of that. You know, a dad body where you kind of lose a little bit of definition and style and you let yourself go when you become a dad. It speaks to the whole idea and reality that men too worry about these things. Men also worry about promotions and reputation and rejection, social rejection, personal rejection, professional rejection. So men are not oblivious to these things. And so while some of the things that they are afraid of are not as survival related often than the fears that women have, men too have confidence issue. Myth number three is that men have more ambition, natural ambition than women. And I would say there are more male role models. We see more men in roles of positional authority. So for this reason, it's easier for men to imagine themselves in leadership roles or authority roles. It doesn't mean that men have more natural ambition to do this, though. Not all men have the ambition to be in charge. There's plenty of men who are happily playing supportive or technical roles. They don't need to be the center of attention. They need not to be in command. So that's a slight... I think that's an important distinction to make, that men have more natural ambitions, not necessarily so. So there's two things I believe that we need to start with if we're going to redefine masculinity and male leadership. The first one is emotional confidence. So the ability and capacity for men to acknowledge that they have feelings, to feel them fully, to be able to express themselves by their emotions and not be gripped by them or have to numb them down or dumb them down. That emotional confidence is going to be critical for masculinity moving forward. And the second thing that we need is to help men develop multifocal perspective. So just as Lieutenant General David Morrison said, you know, it's not that men don't care, it's just they're not aware. So And I think this whole idea of being multifocal perspective applies to both men and women. The more perspectives that we can take on board and understand and be aware of, the more savvy and compassionate and insightful we're going to be as leaders, regardless of our gender. So helping to develop appreciation and inspection of multiple perspectives is a critical shift for all of us, and particularly for men who, because of the social bias towards them in terms of being more privileged and having opportunities that our society favors, that is is even more important. And we're seeing for the push for diversity in boards as an example, as an important thing for businesses to be aware of, because all the research says the more multiple perspectives you have, the more resilient and the more profitable you'll be. So there is a bottom line equation to this whole thing. So I'd love to hear your perspective on what we've talked about. What are some myths about men in leadership that maybe I haven't touched on that you see happening? I'd love you to leave a review or comment on the podcast show notes, and you can get those at zoerouth.com/podcast/menmyths. Buy the book, Moments. It is a great book, and I look forward to getting it into your hands. In the meantime, lead well, live well.